Good afternoon, PM. My name is Geraldine. I'm from CNA. So first of all, just wanted to ask, typically in the past, we have seen two DPMs in the cabinet, but this time around, we have one DPM and three coordinating ministers. So I wanted to ask, what is the rationale behind this and what does this say about governance in this new age? And also, we see some of the 4G ministers swapping portfolios. So I wanted to also ask about the aim of doing that, as well as the priorities for this new government in the early stages of this new term.
For now, I have a solid team behind me. Gan Kim Yong is my deputy prime minister, and I've appointed three coordinating ministers. So that's four senior leaders in my cabinet. They are part of the core team to assist me, to advise me, and also to provide guidance and mentorship to the new and younger ministers. Gan Kim Yong will be acting prime minister in my absence, and if both he and I are not around, then I will appoint one of the coordinating ministers to be acting prime ministers. I think that's a good configuration for now, and of course, I may make further adjustments where needed. As to our priorities, we've said throughout the election campaign that this is a changed world, and so entering this new phase, our first priority will be to secure Singapore's position in this new environment. Secure Singapore's position in advancing our interests overseas, but also in steering Singapore through great economic uncertainties and changes. Of course, we can elaborate more on this in due course, and there will be opportunities to do so when Parliament opens. But it's with this in mind that, as I said just now, I've kept most of the experienced ministers in the core areas like MFA and the economic ministries. But where there are gaps, then obviously I will have to fill and move ministers around, which you have seen in the lineup which I presented just now.
Thank you.
Thanks, PM. Next question. Let's have it from Zhao Bao this round.
Hi, PM. Xiu Feng from Lianhe Zaobao. I have two questions. The first one is on the chairman of the Chinese Community Liaison Group, and the second one will be on the considerations in appointing ministers. I will be asking in Chinese.
What's the second?
The considerations in appointing ministers. I will elaborate in Chinese. The first one, 在新的内阁当中, 请问谁会主管华社事务? 然后您是怎么挑选这个人选的? 然后第二个问题是关于您在 委任部长方面的一个考量，就是这次有四位内阁部长卸任，但是只有三位新的这个代部长。然后在另外一方面，我们看到其中两位代部长是新人直接当代部长，然后不少原有的这个高级政务部长 SMS 没有擢升，所以当中的一些考量是什么？谢谢。Let
me answer the first part in English, and then you had a question also on the liaison group, right? I'll answer that in Mandarin. What are the considerations for the senior ministers of state? Well, I would say that we have a strong team now with existing members as well as new additions to the team. Everyone has different abilities and strengths, and they contribute at different levels, whether at PALSEC, ministers of state, all ministers. Some are able to contribute at a higher level as a minister because they are able to demonstrate abilities at that level, which means you not only need to have political mastery, but you also need to have political skill, policy mastery, but you also need political skills, the ability to communicate effectively. You need to exercise leadership and execute effectively. And so there is a high threshold of requirements to be able to operate and serve as a minister. Some are able to do this soon, and so we expose them. They are able to take on these responsibilities early. Some may need more time to develop and grow in their job, and we allow them to do so. Some may not contribute at that level, but their contributions are no less valued. As a PALSEC or as a minister of state, they are equally important. Every member plays an important part and contributes importantly, effectively to the team. And so my role as leader is to make sure that every member can contribute to the best of their abilities. regardless of the positions they hold. Because every member needs to be able to pull their weight and add value to the team. And when we can do that, the team operates at the maximum level, and then we can serve Singapore and Singaporeans effectively. Let me say a few words in Mandarin on the Chinese Community Liaison Group. 我相信他是华社领导层，他是领导华社这个联络组的最适当人选。而接下来，这个华社联络组也会继续更新团队，引进新的成员加入，让新一代比较年轻的部长更好的认识华社，而我也会给他们大力的支持。我希望我们能够更进一步的加强我们跟华社的联系和合作。
This is on the Chinese group. Minister Edwin Tong is the chairman now of the liaison group, and I'm appointing Minister Ji Hong Tat to be the new chairman.
Thank you, PM. May we have the next question? Perhaps BH, please.
Good afternoon, PM Wong. Good afternoon, ministers. My question is on the Minister of Muslim Affairs appointment. Can you share more about your considerations behind this appointment? And how much did the results of the previous GE play a part in this change of Muslim leadership? And for Prof. Faizal, Tahniah, bolehkah anda terangkan sedikit apakah perkara yang akan menjadi keutamaan anda dalam penggal pemerintahan ini dan bagaimana anda akan melaksanakan keutamaan ini dengan kerjasama dengan penjawat awam lain dan MP? Terima kasih. Dalam bahasa Inggeris, congratulations, Prof. Faizal. What are your immediate priorities in this term of government as the acting Minister of the Muslim Affairs, and how do you propose to carry out your plans? Thank you.
On the leadership of the MM team, the Malay Muslim team, I had discussed this with Minister Masagos. He has been the minister in charge for 7 years. He has done a good job. Advanced many initiatives, including M-Cube, push for initiatives like the Singapore Islamic College. So these are valued and appreciated by everyone, I'm sure, in the community. But we agreed in our discussion that it's time to refresh the MM leadership and let new and younger office holders take over to engage the community and work with the community to realize our shared goals together. So that's why we are making this change. And in consultation with my colleagues and together with Minister Masagos himself, we agreed that Prof. Faizal would be the best candidate to take over as minister in charge. He will be assisted by others. Zaki, for example, has been very active in the community too. He's already in Mendaki, and that's why we decided that Zaki will take over as chairman of Mendaki, and Zaki will assist Prof. Faizal, together with other Malay Muslim office holders, and we are bringing in new ones too, Zul as MOS and Saad Harun as SBS. And then there is Rahayu also. So together with the other office holders, as well as the other Malay Muslim MPs, I'm sure this team will work hard to engage the Malay Muslim community, listen to their concerns and aspirations, and work together to realize our shared goals.
Thank you, PM. I speak in Malay first. Saya bersyukur atas kepercayaan yang diamanahkan. Ini adalah satu tanggungjawab yang besar dan saya menerimanya dengan rendah diri. Dan kalau kita lihat, banyak telah dilakukan dan saya ingin mengucapkan terima kasih kepada Menteri Masagos dan juga menteri-menteri sebelumnya. Kerana kalau kita renungkan bagaimana masyarakat kita telah membangun dan juga bersama-sama dengan masyarakat lain dan ramai yang telah mencapai kejayaan. Dan lama-kelamaan kita dapat lihat isu-isu dan juga aspek-aspek yang penting dalam masyarakat kita juga telah bertambah. Dari segi kalau kita lihat, kita juga telah meneroka pelbagai aspek untuk memberi ruang pembangunan dari segi aspek keugamaan, asatiza dan juga aspek-aspek yang lain. Justru ini adalah satu dorongan bagi kita untuk sama-sama terus membangunkan masyarakat Melayu. Dan Menteri Masagos telah melakarkan beberapa inisiatif yang pada pendapat saya adalah baik bagi rakyat ataupun masyarakat kita, di mana program seperti M03, College Islam Singapura dan juga Wakaf Masyarakat Singapura adalah satu visi dan juga pendekatan yang akan mendatangkan kebaikan kepada masyarakat. Jadi saya akan meneruskan usaha ini dan juga saya telah lama berkecimpung dalam arena ini sebelum saya jadi wakil rakyat. Di mana sekurang-kurangnya 30 tahun saya telah berkecimpung dalam arena kerja-kerja masyarakat di masjid, MUIS dan badan-badan akar umbi. Dan juga dapat bekerjasama dengan masyarakat Melayu di pelbagai kementerian. Dan saya rasa ini adalah satu peluang bagi saya untuk meluaskan pendekatan saya. Jadi salah satu aspek yang saya mahu menerapkan adalah bagaimana kita boleh mendengar dan juga mendekati masyarakat dengan lebih luas, dengan lebih mendalam, kerana saya mempunyai peluang di Kementerian Ahli Ehwal Dalam Negeri, di mana saya bekerjasama dengan pihak-pihak berkepentingan dan juga masyarakat kita untuk menolong, menyokong perpaduan kita dan juga ahli keluarga mereka. Dan dengan saya rasa dengan pendekatan yang lebih mendalam dan luas, kita dapat sama-sama bukan saja melihatnya sebagai satu isu, tetapi meraihkan kejayaan. Walaupun ia adalah satu aspek yang mungkin mencabar, tetapi apabila kita bersama, kita boleh sama-sama melihat isu ini bukan isu yang mudah. Tapi jika kita bersatu hati, kita bekerjasama, kita boleh mendapatkan ataupun mencapai kebaikan kepada masyarakat. Jadi itu adalah satu aspek dan saya akan menggunakan pendekatan seperti ini untuk melihat ataupun mendekati masyarakat dalam aspek-aspek yang lain. Dan saya akan bekerjasama dengan rakan-rakan saya seperti yang PM nyatakan, seperti Cik Zaki dan juga rakan-rakan lain dan juga badan-badan masyarakat kita. Ini penting kerana MMO memainkan peranan yang penting dalam pembangunan Singapura. Justru saya ingin menjemput semua untuk sama-sama turun padang untuk menyumbang kepada masyarakat kita. Apabila kita menyumbang kepada masyarakat kita, kita terus sekaligus menyumbang kepada pembangunan negara kita. Dan ini adalah satu aspek di mana kita mahu meraihkan sebagai satu masyarakat mempunyai jati diri sendiri tetapi mempunyai nilai-nilai semangat Singapura. Jadi saya rasa terharu dan saya harap sama-sama kita boleh meneruskan usaha ini. So what I just shared is that I'm very appreciative for the faith given to me by PM, and this is a very important area. It's a big responsibility, and I would like to thank Minister Masagos for the work that he has done, as well as former ministers of Muslim Affairs for building upon the foundation, upper foundation, and also strengthening the ecosystem all these years. And there are programs that are very good programs undertaken or proposed by Minmas, such as MCube, the Islamic College, and also the Wakaf Masyarakat. Some of these programs I will continue and strengthen it. And I have been involved with the Malay Muslim community for close to 30 years and started as a community leader, grassroots leaders before I became MP and became MP and also in the ministry as an office holder. I've been able to work with the community on various aspects, from education, social and family development, and on public housing, as well as recently in the rehabilitation and reintegration of inmates. And what I found is that through my efforts, I have this approach of engaging widely and deeply with the community, which I found very useful in rallying the community to do good and to contribute to the society. And I realized that when I do this, people get involved, they see the challenges of what it takes to get someone or support someone, right, in such circumstances. And at the same time, they also are able to celebrate the little achievements and cumulatively the bigger achievements that we want. Even though we work together, things are not easy to move and to progress, because progress takes time. Then you bring the people together. So you create an opportunity for us to get together, work on something, and unite. And what is key also is how we can work together as a community. PM shared that he, and this is something that I witnessed as a community leader, PM after PM, as well as government, have been giving lots of support to the Malay Muslim community. And I saw this when I was a grassroots leader, even during the Jamaah Islamiyah incident. I was very touched by what was said by Senior Minister Teo Chee Hean when he was a minister. Then he shared with the community leaders, then he shared with me, us, that we know the Muslim community here are not like the JI. And we want to help because they are part of our social fabric. They are part of us. So as a community leader, I saw it and I was really touched. I told myself, not many countries would have that kind of position and a kind of care for the people. And after I joined as an MP and I became an office holder, then I saw how government has been supporting the Malay community. So this is something that is quite deep in my heart and mind. And with this role, I want to rally the community to come together, to work together, help one another, not only to build and help to raise our young children and to provide opportunities for growth in the community, but also to contribute to the Singapore story. So I hope that this is an opportunity where I can rally more people to come on board the journey, so that not only we are able to build a masyarakat gemilang, but also a community that relates to the future generation of our country, and at the same time, see how they can play a part to develop Singapore.
Thank you. May we have the next question? Let's take it from CNA Digital, please.
Hi, Ministers. Fabian from CNA Digital here. My question is for PM. So can you share more about the Coordinating Minister for Public Services role? Because it's a new one, right? What are some specific areas that it will cover? And also, how was the decision made that this role had to be created? And I have a question for Mr. Chan. So you were formerly from the military, and now you will be heading the defense domain. So what's different for you this time, and how do you intend to balance that portfolio with your coordinating minister role? And as a coordinating minister, what do you aim to achieve, you know, in that position? Thank you very much.
Let me start first. Let me give some context to the three coordinating minister functions. For national security, we've always had that. It's a very important role. And as I said just now, I can think of no one better than Shanmugam to take over from Teo Chee Hian for this far-reaching function of national security. On social policies, we've also had a coordinating minister before. Then DPM Tharman was the first one. And through that, we put in place many interagency processes to review and to improve social policies. These inter-ministry coordination processes continue even after then DPM Tharman or SM Tharman stepped down and became president. And I chaired them as Deputy Prime Minister. I didn't have a coordinating minister title, but I chaired these processes and I made use of them to review our policies for purposes of our Forward Singapore exercise. And that's how we came about reviewing things like the Job Seeker Support Scheme, enhancing parental leave, and all these other things through these coordination processes. But I can't keep on doing this as Prime Minister, so I'm handing this over to Yi Kang to take over this role. For public services, well, I should say in the past, we had a coordinating minister for infrastructure. This was helmed by Boon Wan. It brought together urban planning and major infrastructure projects like housing, MRT, train lines, and whatnot. And through that process, we did strengthen internal coordination within government as far as urban planning and implementation of these major infrastructure projects were concerned. So these areas have improved through that. But I think there are still areas for improvement in two areas. One, last mile public services. How we bring together a whole range of different government services in order to better service residents and Singaporeans, provide better services for them. We've done some of that improvements. For example, we now have a service SG one-stop platform, but there's, I think, still more we can do. And second, when it comes to newer estates, the coordination and the implementation of amenities and facilities and services for these new estates still can be improved. It's not easy because you get the buildings and the housing delivered already, but sometimes the bus services are not there, the amenities are not all ready, and so how can we put all of that and roll them out in a more coordinated and timely fashion? So I think these are new areas which we have identified for improvement, and I think it's more about public services than large-scale infrastructure planning. And that's why I've decided to rename it, to give it that new focus and priority. And Minister Chan Chun Seng will oversee this effort.
David, let me touch on your public services first, then I'll share a bit more on MINDEF. As PM has mentioned, there are a few areas that we want to focus on in improving our public services. And we look at both the digital services and also the physical services, the execution and also the planning. We have a public service that we are proud of, but there are certainly room for us to keep improving. So as PM has mentioned, I will help to coordinate some of these areas of improvement to make sure that we don't have any gaps in the delivery of our public services. Where the ministries are able to continue to look at their own respective areas, then they will certainly continue to do so. But there are some areas that, as PM has mentioned, that I think we seek to do better. For example, in the service delivery, how do we take a more citizen-centric approach in the way we deliver services by pulling together the different agencies so that the individual who is seeking help from the public service or seeking access to different services will not need to run to different places and can have a better, seamless and one-stop service. Then there are also new areas, especially in the digital service delivery area.
because there are new processes that we need to work together in order to transform the way public service can be delivered. So these are the two areas. But if you look at it from another dimension, there is also the current operations and the future planning. In current operations, we'll talk about some of the issues that we want to see improvements, both in processes and in execution. But there's also a forward planning element of how we can take a more forward-looking approach in the way we do the planning upfront across the digital services infrastructure so that we minimize the downstream remediation that we may need to do. And the better we do with upfront planning, the less we need to do downstream. So there are some of the areas that we are looking at for the stronger delivery in our public services. For MINDEF, I must say the following things. The work of MINDEF actually it takes a long time to build up real capabilities, and I must say that I'm very thankful for my predecessors, including Dr. Ng and the Ministers of Defense before that, because when we build capabilities, it takes a long time. And today, as PM has mentioned, we are living in a changed world. We will need to evolve new capabilities to be prepared for the new scenarios that we have to contend with in the coming years. And this is a changed world. So together with the professional team in MINDEF, and it's not just the SAF, there are also other assets in MINDEF that we require fresh approach to re-examine some of our fundamental assumptions on the kind of environment that we'll be facing in the coming years, and ask ourselves, what are those new capabilities that we must build ahead of time so that our defense force can remain ready, relevant, and resilient? Thank you.
Thank you. Next question from Straits Times, please. We're going to the last few questions.
Hi, I'm Yuan Si from the Straits Times. PM Wong, my question is for you. You've often talked about how leadership renewal is one of your top priorities, and I think in that light, there was some speculation and maybe even expectation that one of the 4G ministers might be appointed as DPM. And maybe you can elaborate on your thinking behind not appointing a 4G minister as DPM. And another question I have is on the Labour chief. You talked about how you wanted the Labour chief to be part of the cabinet before too long. So can you elaborate on that? Does that mean that, you know, after Mr. Ng Chin Meng has maybe settled things in Jalan Kayu and things have reached a steady state, that he might be appointed to the cabinet? Or might we have to wait until someone else becomes Labour chief since he made the request not to be part of the cabinet? Thank you.
The first question that you asked was actually the first question in the press conference, which I've replied. Why isn't there an additional DPM? I said the present configuration suits our purposes for now. I have one DPM, but I have three coordinating ministers. That's four senior leaders in cabinet, and I think that's good for a good arrangement for now. They are key ministers who will help me, assist me in the work, and they will also advise, guide the younger ministers. Along the way, there may be changes, but as we start this new term, I am happy with this configuration. On the role of the NTUC Secretary General, as I've said, traditionally, that role, the NTUC Secretary General, would have a position in cabinet. I value this link. I know the NTUC values it too. And I look forward to having an NTUC Secretary General and Labour Chief being part of the team before too long. For now, I respect Ng Chin Meng's wishes, and I'll give him the time he needs, as he has requested, to focus on his work at Jalan Kayu and NTUC. How long it takes, I really can't tell, but I'm in close touch with him, and at some point, when he's ready, when we think that things have improved and stabilized, whether it's him, whether it's someone else, I can't say. But certainly, my wish is for an NTUC Secretary General to be in the team, and in the meantime, while that is not happening, or while we do not have that in the meantime, as I said just now in my remarks, my government will continue to engage NTUC and the labour movement closely to make sure that the concerns and aspirations and needs of Singaporean workers will always feature in our deliberations and our decision-making processes. There is no question, but maybe I ask Yi Kang also to say a few words on social policies and what he's doing on coordinating social policies.
Thank you, PM. I first thank PM for agreeing to my request to stay in MOH because there are really important policies that we need to see through. For the role of coordinating Minister for Social Policy, I think I see a few priorities. Number one is to carry on the work of Forward Singapore, which we will do together as a team. Forward Singapore was a very major exercise, many consultation and major reviews across many policies. I don't expect having to do such a comprehensive exercise. But the situation keep changing, economic environment keep changing, demography is changing, and therefore I think the needs of the population are also changing. And at every, as the PM say, at every stage of life and every stage, every age, there should be a social safety net to guide us through life. And we need to constantly review our policies to refresh, update those policies, and strengthen our social compact. So that's one priority. The other priority, I feel, is the very important Singapore aspect, which is that no matter what background you are, even if it's a very vulnerable background, in Singapore, you have a chance to excel. And we are able to do that through the decades. Number one, because our economic model is always inclusive, benefiting everybody if you can work hard and you have the skills. And number two is the system of meritocracy. And both systems we can't take for granted. Constantly evolve to make sure that meritocracy is as broad as possible. And so long as someone is prepared to work hard, prepared to seize opportunities, we must continue that spirit of social mobility. No matter how hard your background is in Singapore, you must be able to succeed. And that's the second priority. And third is aging, which is the reason why I also requested to stay in MOH. We've done some major moves, but I think aging will be the single largest social development we will see in the next decade. We need to adapt to it in the way we learn, we work, we play, or live through our silver years. So I think that still requires a lot of work. So I would say these are the key issues on my mind now. I'll discuss with colleagues, I'll discuss with the team as we progress on this work.
Next question. Tamil News, please.
Hi, Sharala from Tamil News. I was just wondering, my question is for Minister Shanmugam. Would you be able to say a bit more on the 4G-led cabinet this time around and some new faces in the cabinet as well? So your thoughts on it. Tamil sonningla nalla irukum. Thank you.
We will take that separately at a doorstop outside. Because sure. PM has already answered that question in English.
Right.
So if you want it in Tamil, I'll do it later.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's have the next question. Reminder, last few questions we are at. Next question, Channel 8, please.
Good afternoon, PM and panelists. This is Xuan from Channel 8. I have two questions that I ask in both Mandarin and English. 总理随着这个新一届的内阁的公布，是否意味着我们开始已经看到第五代领导团队的这个形成？ 第二，我想问的是，坊间有一些反馈，有关市长职务的功能和这个职务存在的必要性，政府是否有计划检讨这个职务，甚至是调整职责的范围？ My question briefly in English. So with the latest cabinet lineup, are we beginning to see the formation of the core team that will lead the 5G leadership? And also, there have been public feedback about questioning the relevance of the mayor role. So are there any plans to review or even change the scope of responsibilities to enhance the relevance? Thanks.
The new office holders that I've appointed, as I mentioned just now, we have 9 altogether from the backbenchers as well as the new MPs. That's the highest in recent history, and that reflects the importance I've placed on leadership renewal. It's something which I had mentioned repeatedly also during the election campaign. So I do want to build up a strong team comprising, of course, people who have experience, but also as much as possible, giving exposure and opportunities for the younger ones and the newer ones to step up. So I'm glad to be able to appoint some of them this round. And for those where we assess to have the potential and the ability, we are stretching them. We are giving them significant responsibilities. Jeff Xiao in MOT, David in MCCY, but many others as MOSs and SBSs and mayors. So I hope the team, I think we are starting to see the outlines of the next generation team, and hopefully over time, this is just the beginning of the term, but along the way, in the course of the next few years, you can see the younger ones stepping up, the ones who do well and are able to take on more responsibilities. I would want them to do so. And maybe even amongst those whom I have not brought in this time around, existing backbenchers and other MPs whom I have not brought in this time around, there may be a chance for them to come in later. And then gradually, I will want to build up a next generation team to take Singapore forward. That is indeed on my mind, and it will be one of my key priorities. On the role of mayors, they continue to play an important role as part of our team and in engaging Singaporeans and in helping us to build strong bonds with different stakeholder groups and different community groups. Just take a look at the CDC vouchers. It's one very good example of how the mayors provided and made tangible and concrete improvements put together a significant project that has turned out to be of tremendous help to Singaporeans to help them relieve cost of living, not just the households, but also the heartland hawkers and businesses and merchants. It was the mayor's initiative. We supported them, and not just implementing it, but eventually improving it and making it not just a paper and manual scheme, but a digital scheme, all done through the mayor's hard work. So I think these are concrete examples of how mayors can make an impact. I've brought in 2 new mayors this time around, Yam King and Dinesh. Their roles, of course, will continue to evolve. Their contributions, the impact that they can have, I'm sure will evolve with each individual bringing new value to their roles they play. But I believe they still are an important part of the team and will be an important contributor to how we can strengthen our community bonds and build a more cohesive and united society in Singapore.
Thank you. Last 2 questions, please. Mothership.
Hi, good afternoon, PM. I'm Martino from Mothership. So I have 2 questions. The first one is, you know, there are 2 new faces who have become Acting Minister Jeffrey Xiao, and Acting Minister David Neo. So what are your considerations in terms of appointing them as Acting Minister, and what sets them apart from dispatch? A second question is, you know, PM, today is the day where many of the civil servants and public servants know who their leaders and their bosses are. So what's your message to, you know, the public service and young public servants who, you know, join the public service to serve Singapore? Thank you.
Why Jeffrey and David as acting ministers? Well, simply because I have, for all the new office or the new MPs and the ones we are bringing into office this time around, we have assessed all of them. They come in at different levels, different experiences, and we believe, you know, having assessed and looked at all of them, David and Jeffrey, based on their past experience, based on our assessment of their abilities and potential, can step up and contribute as acting ministers. Well, we have done so before in the past. This is not the first time. Chun Seng came in as an acting minister in 2011. Yi Kang came in as an acting minister in 2015 too. So it's really on the basis of having worked with them closely, feedback from different parties who have worked with them, interacted with them and our assessment of their abilities and potential. But they will not be the only ones. I hope certainly amongst the rest who are coming in at a junior level at MOS and SPS, I believe they do have the potential to do more as well, and hopefully they will develop, grow, and they will be able to take on larger responsibilities in due course. For the civil servants, I would say the trust that the system we have in Singapore is unique. We have a system where political office holders who are elected work very closely with the civil servants because we all are in this together. We all have the same mission to take Singapore forward, to secure a better future for Singapore and for Singaporeans. And that trust has been established for decades so that we are able to work together, engage one another. From time to time, there are differences in views, but these are all aired candidly, openly, and eventually we come together, find a consensus, and execute the decisions well. That ability to function as one Singapore team between the, that ability to do so effectively between the political office holders and the civil servants is a special source that contributes to Singapore's competitive advantage. And I hope we can continue to maintain that, and I certainly will remind all new office holders that this is a trust we must continue to protect and strengthen, not to be taken for granted. It's a relationship that must be nurtured with every new generation of civil servants, public service leaders, as well as political office holders. And since I have with me in the panel one new MP who is coming in as office holder, I think I should ask her to say something too. Jasmine is on my left.
Thank you very much, PM, and also thank you for the media reps here for the chance to speak and to hear me out. So as one of the younger new political office holders, I first want to say that on behalf of all the new political office holders, we're very grateful for the trust that PM and the senior leaders have placed in us. And at the same time, we also fully trust the decisions that PM and the senior leaders have made in terms of where and how we are deployed. It is a long game, it is for the long haul, and so over time we must remain committed and flexible in terms of where we are sent to and the work that we do. Now, PM mentioned this is a leadership transition, and as new leaders, we definitely have a role to play as well. I think for many of us, the challenge is really in figuring out the balance between what we call there is no time to waste, but actually there is also no need for haste. And that's the balance I think we have to strike. There is no time to waste because we will hit the ground running right after the swearing-in ceremony. There's much to learn. We are all put into portfolios different from what, at least for most of us. And so we don't have much time to learn the ropes, not just the content of the work, but also, like Pian mentioned, how to work with the civil servants. We have to understand how policies have evolved over time to where they are. And we must also learn what's the impact of our work on the stakeholders in our different areas. So no time to waste there in terms of picking up and learning the ropes. But at the same time, I think we also know there is no need for haste. And sometimes we really have to be quite patient in the changes that we want to bring about, in the changes that we will set in place, because these will affect many stakeholders and many, many citizens. I think there is a Chinese saying, I'm not that familiar exactly what it sounds like, something like, you don't help the bamboo grow by pulling on it. I think it's called, 不要拔苗助长. And I think that's the challenge we face. I think many of us are raring to go. We do have the energy to contribute, but we must also know that any work that we do must be considered carefully, and we must be quite clear about the purpose of the work that we do. So I think on behalf of all the new political office holders, we look forward to the work ahead. We also thank in advance our senior leaders for the lessons and the development that they will give to us in the coming years.
Thank you. We have time for one last question. Let's ask an outlet that has not asked yet. Berita, please to close.
PM Sujadi from Berita Media Corp. You said earlier engaging the Malay Muslim community will continue to be one of your priorities. And now you have Dr. Faisal leading the new MM portfolio. Can you share some of this to-do list for him regarding engaging the Malay Muslim community? Thank you.
I think he should answer that question, what the to-do list is. We start by continuing our engagements. I've done a lot of that over the last year with different groups, not just the usual MM groups, MMO groups, organizations, but even some of the ones that we may not be so familiar with, MM professionals, entrepreneurs, women's groups. I found these very useful, listening to them, hearing their concerns, aspirations, and understanding better what their hopes and dreams are for their community and also for Singapore. I found also, actually, that in many instances, the concerns they have are not unique to the MM community. For example, MM businesses and entrepreneurs shared many concerns. Actually, they are concerns shared by all entrepreneurs, all Singaporean startups, financing, regulatory obstacles, going overseas. So sometimes there are concerns specific to the community, but sometimes there are national concerns too. So these engagements will continue in our new term with the MM community, but also, as I mentioned just now in Mandarin, with the different groups, with our Chinese community groups, with other community groups as well, with Indian groups, and then with different interest groups too. We will certainly do that, and then we will, from the feedback, from the suggestions, from the ideas that have been given to us, we will find ways to address concerns. We will find ways to forge consensus on the way forward. From time to time, there will be instances where we do not agree with one another. That's bound to happen. But I think our differences and our diversity should not weaken us. We should not be afraid of different views. We should embrace them. We should find ways to forge consensus and become stronger and more united. Embrace our diversity. Expand the common ground we have as Singaporeans. And through that sense of solidarity and unity, have confidence in Singapore's future. So just now, one of the first questions in the press conference was a priority for Singapore. I said our priority is to secure Singapore's future in this changed world. But in order for us to do that, secure Singapore's future in this changed world, we must maintain that strong spirit of solidarity and unity. So that is not to be taken for granted, and that's something my team and I will work hard to maintain and strengthen.
Okay, thank you. Maybe we have time for one very last one. I believe there was one from Shin Min.
Hi, this question is for PM. We see that there is 6 ministries that sees a change in the ministers. Maybe some consideration, because we also see that there's a ministry, like, for example, MOE, that sees an entire change of leadership. So maybe some considerations behind, you know, why some ministries have a change of leadership and some do not have such a drastic change, yes.
All ministries will have a change in leadership, not necessarily at the ministerial level, but if you look at MOS, SMS, MOS, Senior PowSec, PowSecs, all ministries will have changes. Because I do want to give people more exposure and test them out in different areas, give them opportunities to learn something different, something new, especially for the junior office holders. And then in time to come, some of them may be able to develop, grow, and take on larger responsibilities. So that's the reason for the movements of office holders. Ministers, as I mentioned just now, the consideration is in some critical ministries, security, foreign affairs, the economic ministries. As far as possible, if there's no gap, then I would prefer to keep the experienced ministers in place. Of course, in a ministry like defense, where Eng Hen has stepped down, then I have to bring in a new person. But for the critical areas, I have chosen to keep the ministers in place, but then see if I can change the junior office holders. So that's why you would see in some instances the ministers have changed, but in some instances they have not. But if you go down the line across the different ministries, we have quite wide-ranging movements and changes and the reshuffling of the team, really so that we can broaden the exposure. And then you have also, when you bring together a new team, I'm sure they will build on the work of their predecessors, but they will bring with them fresh ideas, new perspectives, in order to add, in order to take us forward and to advance the work of their respective ministries. So I look forward to the contribution of every team across all our ministries.